The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
This is the Pro America Report on The Answer San Diego.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Ed Martin here on the Pro America Report. Got an exciting program today, the Pro America Report. If you are not getting all of it, and I mean all of it, all at once, as a podcast or live, you need to go over to ProAmericaReport.com and sign up. ProAmericaReport.com and sign up. Also, if you are on the old Twitter, at Eagle Ed Martin, on Facebook, Ed Martin Live, and on and on and on. All right. In a few moments, this great show that I'm talking about, we are going to visit with Janine Pirro. Janine Pirro will be with us. I'm not sure exactly what time we'll get her. Maybe she may be the third segment. And first, we'll talk with Colonel John Mills. Colonel John Mills, retired Army colonel, intelligence guy, had a plan about 2 years ago on how to influence things. I'll never forget him telling me, this is John Mills, retired military man. He said, Ed, it's about relationships. And I remember thinking, oh boy, here, what does this mean? And what he meant and went on to say was close relationships to people close to you. This is years ago, 2 years ago plus. And he meant county registrars, county election officials, and in his home county in Virginia, and then this county surrounding it, he went and created these relationships so he could call up or email the registrar or the elections officials and say, hey, what about this? And it worked. And all across the country, it's working. And so he's a very interesting guy. His book is called The Nation Will Follow. If you go to thenationwillfollow.com, he's got another book coming, How to Fight the Deep State. So we'll talk with him in a few moments. And then Janine Pirro, Judge Janine, who stars on The Five, she will be with us. She has a new book out also, and we'll talk to her about that. But first, let's talk about what you need to know. Okay, let's talk first about what you need to know. And what you need to know today, at this moment, in this section of time, is follow the money. It's follow the money. We've talked about this before, but the reason I want to mention this is because my friend Vijay Jaraja, who has been on the program a number of times, he's a scientist, he's a analyst, he's an advocate. He's saying that climate change is overblown, how they're treating it. He's saying that carbon is not as bad as everybody thinks, blah, 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 not blah, 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 but he's arguing in that space. But here's what I want to tell you. Vijay is Indian, and he is communicating his opinions through writing and essays and writing, also interviews like mine. He did come over and give a lecture in the United States, but he's in India. And one of the most powerful things he has said is to describe what he calls climate colonialism. And what he means by that, and let me just say what I think he means, and maybe I'll say what I believe. When I heard that, I realized that's the right phrase. It's a kind of cultural nastiness where the Americans and the leftists think they're so much better than the rest of the world that they're going to tell them not only how to live, but how fast and how expensively they have to adjust things. And so what Vijay has talked about, and he said, look, you're coming to India and you're lecturing us on what you think we should be doing and how fast you think should be doing. It's another form of colonialism. It's a form of cultural colonialism. I'm not sure that term is used yet, but he calls it climate colonialism. Here's what I'm saying. It's racist. It's racist. And it's forcing people to act in ways that we think they have to, even though we didn't. And what I mean by that is it took America 150 years to clean up its act in terms of, say, polluting the environment. I'm glad we did. There's no reason to dump toxins into the water supply. There's no reason to dump toxins into the air. There's no reason to poison each other. But we got better and better and better over 150 years. And we're telling India, you have to do it now. And here's where the trick, follow the money, the corruption of this. I told you this before, but I want to go back to it. John Podesta, who was Obama's chief of staff, who has been an uber lobbyist. His brother's a famous lobbyist, lobbying for everybody, making tens of millions of dollars. He's back in the White House as of 6 months ago, and now he's got a $369 billion fund, a slush fund that was created in the Inflation Reduction Act. And the slush fund is to be used to influence climate incentives. What do you think that is? Well, now we get to the nub of it. Not only are we telling India how they have to be, we're cultural colonialists and climate colonialists. And actually the term that he used one time was imperialists, climate imperialists. Not only is the place nations like America telling India what to do, but now we're also using our money to pay for it. And it would be one thing if we took all our money and sent it to India. But that's always the trick, isn't it? It's a little bit like all the money that we sent to Ukraine that disappeared. It's not going to where we say it's going or where we're told it's going. It's going into the pockets of the people who are involved and who are active in this directionally in what they're supposed to. So I think we're going to talk tomorrow. I haven't scheduled, finalized the interview, but I believe we're going to talk to someone from the Media Research Center about how the Associated Press received $8 million to go ahead and research climate change. And lo and behold, they started using the far left words, extremism and, you know, fear mongering. And my point is, follow the money. If you're someone who needs a job, we did this last week, who likes to be employed at high wages and make a lot of money, you can go to work for the National Women's Law Center and you can be the head of that and make $500,000 a year. And your husband can be the U.S. attorney in D.C. That's what's going on here. And then you can stand in front of the Supreme Court and rail against the ethics of Clarence Thomas. And that's what you can do. Or you can go and you can find out how John Podesta is going to use climate incentives, $369 billion worth of them, to implement things. Now, do you think there's a good chance that Podesta's climate incentives are going to fund things like studies and conventions and conferences? Of course they are. And do you think that they're going to pay large fees for people to come from all over the world to talk about how terrifying things are and what should be done and stoke climate hysteria? Of course they are. So not only are we racist as a country, forcing our view on countries like India, not only are we cultural colonialists and climate imperialists, we're all of that, but we're now doing it with our own tax money, tax dollars. Our own money is going to do this. The White House Office of Domestic Climate Policy is the name of the entity, the office that now John Podesta is in, and he has $369 billion in climate incentives. Think about the euphemism, climate incentives. Cash money to spread around and make sure that the programs that you want are taken care of. That's what's going on. That's what's happening with your money. That's what's happening. And the worldview of this is narrow. That's why it's not real. It's not really concerned about the world. It's not really concerned about the economy. It's concerned about power and consolidating power. And one of the ultimate ways to consolidate power, one of the, maybe say it better, the top ways, the most powerful, the most influential way to increase your influence, the most powerful way to influence things is money. You can do it by persuasion. You can do it by argument. You can do it by force. You can do it by fear. All those things are employed periodically. But money moves people, and money moves people dramatically. And when the money is $369 billion, it's going to move people. It is going to work. That's what you need to know. That's what we're facing. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll talk with Colonel John Mills, as well as Judge Jeanine Pirro. Be right back. Ed Martin here on the Pro America Report. Back in a moment. Welcome back. Welcome back. Ed Martin here on the Pro America Report. It's a couple of years ago now, more than one, maybe two. Retired Colonel John Mills came in to and see me at my office. We had spent some time together, broke bread, and he talked about his efforts, his focus, which was on going out and saying, hey, in the local community, county by county, you can build relationships. He had his own experience in his home county with his local elected official. He recounted that, being able to influence him by saying, hey, pay attention to this, not influence him by saying, you know, do what I want. But hey, look at this. Look at what it means and how does it fit together. And so Colonel John Mills went on and he wrote a book, and the book is called The Nation Will Follow. He's gotten a ton of attention for that. Been around the country speaking. You see him somewhat frequently over at the War Room, Bannon's War Room and other places. And we're just talking off the air. Unfortunately or fortunately, by the way, thenationwillfollow.com is a place where you can go buy the book. And subheading is firsthand experience. The Nation Will Follow, firsthand experiences fighting the deep state. And retired Colonel John Mills is our guest. Welcome back. How are you, sir?
Ed, thank you so much. An honor to be with you on your show. And yeah, that's we have four. I didn't mention that we have four felony indictments based on that county action model. Two in Virginia and two someplace else. I'm not going to go into specifics. Sure. We got Virginia out of the Eric system.
Yeah,
had a lot of successes.
Yeah, Paul. Let me pause. But I want to cover that one. But first, I want to ask you about this. We were talking off the air. You are on the list. You were in the list of the Twitter files, I guess it's called, or targeted. What do you think that meant? I mean, what does it mean to you?
Well, it validates some of the things I said in the first book, and we got book two, Fighting the Deep State, coming out in the fall. But it means, and now that we have FBI Special Agent Elvis Chan in court testimony in the Missouri and Louisiana case against DHS, that the U.S. government has been coordinating a censorship campaign with big tech. And it's shameful. And they have this customer access portal where government agencies, it appears, can reach in personally and essentially identify, throttle down people they want to censor. So this is an absolute RICO act, out of control U.S. government colluding with big tech. This is the deep state colluding with big tech to silence American citizens. This is absolutely shameful.
Colonel John Mills is our guest. Again, his book, his first book, The Nation Will Follow. Go to thenationwillfollow.com. As he mentioned, he's got another one coming out in a few months. We'll have you back to talk about that. But now back, let me say for a second, when we were, again, exchanging texts, I think it was, you had in your home state of Virginia, the Commonwealth of Virginia, you went and you talked to the Virginia Attorney General. You briefed him, I guess, on these issues. But Virginia is pulling out of ERIC. Now, this is a trend across the country, but you still got to get people and states to do it. Tell us how it played out in Virginia. Is it as simple as the Republicans won? They took a hard look. There's other places where Republicans win and they don't get out of ERIC. So walk us through what it is, what that means, how you see it play out, and how maybe there's lessons learned for the next place.
Well, thank you, Ed. Well, I wrote a top 10 best practices for the county registrar and the state, briefed the attorney general right after the November elections of last year. And point seven was ERIC. And I studied ERIC. There was no legal obligation or requirement that Virginia stay in this nonprofit consortium that allegedly does the voter rolls. Essentially, it's subcontracted out. The state surrenders sovereignty. I looked at it as Attorney General. There is no legal reason. Governor Youngkin has inherent authority to take us out of ERIC. And so they pondered it, chewed on it, and said, and they took action. And so we're now the eighth state to leave ERIC. ERIC, as soon as you talk about the nonprofits, which are mostly an extension of the blue team, grab their IRS Form 990, their required statement at the end of a year. And I looked through that for Eric, and several things immediately popped out at me. And so I said, this doesn't make any sense. And that's why I told, communicated with the Attorney General and said, and the staff, and said, you know, we need to be taken out. So we had a second dialogue, and then they ran it. Decision was made, and they took Virginia out of Eric. Most places, it's not a legal requirement. They just made a decision to come into Eric.
What was the rationale for it? If you go back and look at it, and again, we're talking with retired Colonel John Mills, and his expertise is in the military, included sort of information and intelligence work, all this stuff. What was Eric supposed to do, and what do you think it's done? From the beginning, was it just a ruse? I mean, walk us through exactly what they purport to do and what you think is the problem. And we should say to people, and I'll put up a link up there. It's about 2 weeks ago that Virginia stepped out of it. They call it a voter data partnership, is what Eric. It stands for the Electronic Registration Information Center. But what do you think this was and is, and what's going on here?
Well, just like the 2002 Helping Americans Vote Act, never, ever trust a nice-sounding initiative or piece of legislation.
Right,
because
right.
This was a fraud, and it surrendered sovereignty and responsibility of the state. The Center of Election Maladministration, the key term is maladministration, is the voter roll. That is one of the key centers of gravity. The threat always evolves over time. It's voting rolls. These are huge, complex databases, which essentially the state says, okay, hey, Eric, you manage it for us. We can't do it. You do it for us. Well, what do you think is going to happen? So there's a number of documents I've written. I've placed it on Colonel Rhett John, my Substack account, Colonel Rhett John, and I've gone through the analysis of these systems. And that's where I said the state has to inherently and directly be involved in the management of voting rolls. They can't just cede it to a third party who we know nothing about. And this is just at the federal level. We have federal officials legally sign for responsibility on accuracy of large data sets. We don't do that in most states.
Well, you know, I've repeated it a bunch of times. I don't know who to give it credit to, but you know, we've watched now the Durham report, we've watched the Mueller report, we've watched the January 6th Select Committee, all these fraudulent institutions. We've watched the so many institutions in our country that are corrupted, at least a small C corrupted, meaning they've gone away from their mission. You know, you got woke military, all this stuff, and somehow we're supposed to be told, you know, we're supposed to believe that in 50 states, the institutions of elections was run perfectly. Perfectly. This is in 2020, perfect elections, nothing wrong. And one of the things, again, as you point out, is the connectivity or these partnerships with nonprofits. What would you prefer? We're talking with Colonel John Mills. What would you prefer the next steps to be in terms of getting to the bottom of this? It's one thing to pull out of Eric, but it's not as clear to me that the influence of these partnerships, of the money, of the people in office is ending, right? So what's next? Is there something you look up and say, huh, I wish the House, U.S. House was doing it, or maybe because of your work, and again, The Nation Will Follow, .com is a book about The Nation Will Follow, that book. Maybe it's local, maybe it's county by county. That's your assertion. That's your lesson early. Maybe that's your assertion now. But what would you like to see happen with some of these massively managed connected entities, nonprofits?
Well, at the local, 95% of us need to spend 97% right on our county and getting your states out of Eric, making sure you have direct by name accountability of your county and state officials that can be held accountable for making sure you have a clean process. And if not, they can be brought to court. That's the local fight. The national fight is really the Durham investigation. It corroborates a number of points in the story. It corroborates the Russia hoax was Russia was a hoax. Factually, it is now documented. It was a fake. It documents that the intel community assessment that Comey and Brennan ran in November, December of 2016 was a fraud. Comey and Brennan need to be charged with false statements by a federal official. And there's five referrals out of the Durham investigation, one of which includes Georgia Tech. Very likely the names I provided are part of that specific referral, but there's four other referrals that are very interesting. So this isn't over. Durham was able to get this out despite a front office that wanted to bury this and hide this. So ladies and gentlemen, look at the Durham as a victory. This was huge. And it also, we need to totally start over with our law enforcement and intelligence community. This means a modern church commission, a detailed analysis, bottom to top, top to bottom, to redo the entire federal law enforcement and IC, because it's become so politicized, so weaponized. It is, I don't mean this lightly, an enemy of the American people. The American people own this government, not the other way around.
Colonel John Mills, retired colonel, has been our guest. Again, the website is thenationwillfollow.com to find out more about his book and about his pathway to local impact generally and local. And the next book is called, he's working on, to be out in the next few months, The War Against the Deep State. So thank you, Colonel Mills, as always. Thanks for taking the time, for reaching out and staying in here in this slog. It's not, people think, oh, we'll get the one slam dunk. It'll solve everything. We'll get the one grand slam. Well, you got to hit a lot of singles. You got to make a lot of plays before you can get to the key play. And you're doing that. So thanks for taking the time.
And well, you were a huge help and a big part of it. Thank you for your friendship and mentoring. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Well, you're kind to say. Colonel John Mills, we appreciate him very much. And we will put up on social media links to his Substack as well as to the website that covers his book. And you'll see within that lots of action steps. One of the smartest things about John is he tells you things to do, steps you can take, not just, yell at the fading light of the city on the hill. But here's what you can do to save it. So very helpful. We'll take a break and be right back. It's Ed Martin here on the Pro America Report. We'll be back in a moment. Welcome back. Ed Martin here on the Pro America Report. A great honor and really fun, as always. Makes me smile to even say her name. Judge Jeanine Pirro is an author, a noted attorney. She's done a lot of stuff. She's right now, she's hosted shows, different types of shows, different things. And she's now on The Five, and she's just an unbelievably good presence on The Five, I think. And I enjoy watching her there. Her book is called Crimes Against America. And it takes to task in a lawyerly way, maybe a judging way, Joe Biden and what his administration has done. So welcome back to the program, Judge Jeanine Pirro. How are you?
I'm terrific. And thanks so much for having me. I'm glad to be back. Let me tell you something. America today is not the America that we grew up in. It is now no longer a sovereign nation. It is a globalist landing spot with benefits. It doesn't matter who you are, where you're from. You're entitled. If you come here to education, medication, as well as housing and whatever else you need. And we don't even need to know your name or why you're here. Just show up. And unfortunately, in the book Crimes Against America, I talk about the left's takedown of our republic. And it's never been more timely than it is right now. You know, we just heard about the Durham report. We know that COVID, that COVID monies, billions given to schools were never used to keep the schools open, but every metric was meant to keep the schools closed. We know that with the invasion at the southern border, we know the drugs are coming in, the cartels are operational at the border, and they literally have an artery into this country where fentanyl is being distributed. Fentanyl is coming from China in their unrestricted war against America. And then the pills are made in Mexico, where there's money laundering. And then our people, 100,000 of them a year, are dying. The First Amendment is no longer what it was. What we used to say, we can't say anymore. It's not considered politically correct. And the ultimate denial of First Amendment was in the 2020 election when the FBI told social media, you can't talk about the Hunter Biden laptop because it's Russian disinformation. And then we find out from 51 so-called intelligence officers that they called it Russian disinformation to give Joe Biden a pointer in the debate with Donald Trump.
Right.
And it goes on from there.
And we're talking with Judge Jeanine Pirro, and I want to go back to something, but I want to hit this book again, Crimes Against America. And here's where it gets really interesting, Judge Jeanine. I realized when I got the book, Winning Team Publishing is who's doing this. This is Donald Trump, his son, Sergio Gore, a very well-known political guy, started this publishing house. So it's you and Donald Trump's books, and they're bestsellers. So you've already been a bestseller, so this will be easy for you, but it's exciting. So we'll put up a link there. But let me go back.
And by the way, just one more thing. You can get it at judgejbook.com. Judgejbook.com.
Even
Sergio Gore said to me, Jeanine, make sure you say that. So
perfect. Perfect. Yeah, that's perfect. Judge J Book. Did you say book or books?
Book, singular. Book.
Okay,
book.
Okay, good. Well, that's even better. I'll put it there. I know Sergio knows what he's doing, and so hat tip to Sergio Gore. He'll love it. He'll love that we're talking about him. Now, Judge Jeanine, though, I want to go back to something you said, because you are, if I can say, the American dream, meaning you were a trailblazing attorney, woman attorney, in a period of time where not every woman, you know, a lot of women were encouraged to go to do other things, right? Sometimes stay home, but you had a family too, but you became a lawyer and a judge very early in the period of time. And when you look at America, when you hear Joe Biden, you talk about the case, crimes against America, and this president, one of the things that's so insane is he's the bigot. He's the anti-woman racist. And people like you, who are called conservative and call this, actually live the American dream and are here to prove to say, hey, it's not perfect. Life isn't perfect. But man, alive in America, you can make it. And they're lying about it.
Well, yeah, they are lying about it. And, you know, one of the things that you mentioned, I mean, let me make it clear, I'm no spring chicken. And
I didn't want to say that. I'm not allowed to say that.
But, you know what? Hey, look, aging is part of life, and I'm happy to be in this situation. But look, I started the first domestic violence unit in the nation when no one was talking about battered women. I have fought for women and children. I was the first woman elected district attorney in my county, the first woman elected county judge in my county. And I started the first internet pedophile sting operation in the nation. I was aggressive. I was passionate. And I believe in America. And my father was a veteran and my grandfather. And from the time I was a kid, we had the American flag flying in front of our home, and it still flies in front of my home where I live in Westchester County in New York. But the truth is that America is being destroyed. Look, they're trying to destroy American history. I don't need to remind you about the takedown of the statues and everything about our history.
Yep.
The fact that in school, and I talk about this in Crimes Against America, I say in the first chapter, I say, you know what? Kids are graduating from school and they're not even proficient in English and in math. This is a different America. And they want socialism and they want Marxism. Forget meritocracy. Forget being, you know, winning based upon performance, based upon being the best. Now you get a trophy if you just go in and perform, irrespective of whether you win. And my last thought there is with the schools, with the COVID money, the billions that were given to Randy Weingarten and other schools that were never open while the Catholic schools are open, charter schools are open. Kids in China were studying quantum physics. Kids in Russia were studying. Our kids are emotionally distraught, suicidal, socially, and academically affected by this pandemic. Now they're trying to teach kids that if you're white, you know, you're an oppressor, little kids. And they're doing in schools with this transgender stuff. As a prosecutor, I would prosecute them for child pornography. They're showing kids books. They're 6 and 7 years old of how to perform oral sex on each other. And forgive me for saying that.
Yeah,
but that is the reality. And I would prosecute them if I were still the DA.
Well, maybe you should be. Maybe if that when we have another administration, maybe that's your real sunset calling. You get off the TV. Our guest is Judge Jeanine Pirro, judgejbook.com, judgejbook.com. And you click on that link. I've got it set up right here. And you go and you'll see published by Winning Team Publishing, which is Donald Trump's publisher of his books that are massive bestsellers. It's called Crimes Against America. She's already a bestseller. But now she's going to lift up Trump's publishing house, too. Tell Sergio that. All right. Now, listen, back to for a second, Joe Biden and what the administration's doing. Different piece of this question. When you lay out in this book what all that's happened, the one question I have that I ask everybody about this. What do you do when your chief executive officer of your country basically ignores all the laws and then has a willing judiciary to sort of allow it? Look, Donald Trump tried to push the envelope on some executive orders and things, and he found himself always battling it out in court, which is what we expect, right? When there's a gap in the law, you say, hey, this is what I want to do. Someone says, I challenge it, and let's say where we are. We have a President Biden whose policies are to absolutely ignore the law. It doesn't matter who passed it, who signed it, who ruled it. He's just going to do what he wants. It feels worse than even Obama when he did this, or others when they did this.
Well, you know, the truth is that it is amazing what President Trump got done when every day he was fighting the
left.
I mean, can you imagine if he wasn't fighting them, what this country would be today? Look, this country right now is in a bad situation. You know, even during the COVID, and I don't mean to keep going back on that. But there was a case that went to the United States Supreme Court. They wanted to get the casinos open and the multiplex theaters open. Supreme Court comes down with a decision. It was a Calvary Church, and they said, "You want to gamble? Have at it. You want to go to the multiplex? Have at it. You want to go to church? No. 50, no more than 50 can go to church." I mean, this is the United States Supreme Court, and we're lucky that we have that Supreme Court now. But religion is under attack. The First Amendment is under attack. They want to infringe on your right to bear arms. They want to be in a position where they can control what you do. They want to control your children. And they say the children are our children, not the parents' children, but the school's children. This is classic Marxism and socialism. And what America has to understand is that, you know, even Abraham Lincoln was right in 1838 when he said, "America will never suffer at the hands of a foreign power who will cross the ocean and cross the Mississippi to destroy us. If America's lot is to end, it will be, her death will be by suicide, not by a foreign invader." And that's what we're seeing. We're seeing the left, socialism, Marxism, Soros-funded prosecutors who believe in social justice. I don't know what the heck that really means. And that's my wheelhouse. But, you know, it's like, let's get the criminals, let's give them criminal privilege, you know. And for you victims out there, too bad. You had a bad day. That's your problem. It's got to stop. And the left has to stop taking down this country.
One more question. Again, we're talking with Judge Jeanine Pirro, and I will put up on social media and make sure you find your way to her website, which is the one to go to, judgejbook.com, because her new book is out, Crimes Against America. Cities. You know, you're a New Yorker. You can hear it in your voice, but you're also someone who's traveled the world and seen cities and watched prosecutors and seen prosecutors come into office, come out of office and all. What? I mean, the cities are gone to hell, and it must hurt you a lot because you love New York. But also looking around the country, I mean, we're hollowing out our cities. They're not safe. I mean, you can't stay in the cities.
Well, you know what? When I ran for DA, one of the things that I would say is, you need me in this county. It was a Democrat county. I was Republican, conservative, independent. Right. And I said, you need me because you need safety. That way your businesses stay in business, your schools, your families, your home values go up, and your kids are safe. And in America today, the takedown in the Democrat defunded cities where the Democrats are in charge. They've defunded the police. They've told the police to stand down, and people are afraid to walk the streets. New York isn't what it used to be. And just last week, Danny Penny was charged with manslaughter in the second degree. This guy's a Marine sergeant by the time he was 23. I mean, you know, you're in a locked subway car underground, it's moving, and a guy gets on there with 44 prior arrests in the middle of a psychotic episode, a schizophrenic, and says, I don't care if I die. I don't care if I go to prison for the rest of my life. That tells you if you're in the military, this guy's suicidal or homicidal. Mm-hmm. And everybody on that car was grateful for Danny Penny, the Marine, but no, the leftist progressive prosecutor charging him with manslaughter in the second degree. So yeah, we got a lot of problems, and that's why I wrote Crimes Against America, not to mention Joe Biden and his son Hunter and the organized criminal enterprise that they're running. Joe Biden is the front man. Hunter's the bag man at the back door as soon as his father wraps himself in the flag and goes through the front door.
Well, Judge Jeanine Pirro, you know, judgejbook.com for her book, and go check it out, Crimes Against America. One of the things I love about President Trump is he has people like you who are strong and tough and opinionated and all. I mean, I always tell people, like, go see what it's like to be around Judge Jeanine. You're like, this is not a wallflowers. This guy, Trump, he's got the smartest people around him. So thank you for writing the book and being out there, especially on the five. Be thank encouraged you. And we'll be watching.
All right. God bless. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Judge Jeanine Pirro, everybody. And we will put up on social media links to all of those, the book we cited and the publisher too, judgejbook.com. Be right back. Ed Martin here on the Pro America Report. We'll be back in a moment.
This is the Phyllis Schlafly Report, a daily look at the significant issues of our time from an experienced conservative perspective. Sponsored by Phyllis Schlafly Eagles, this broadcast continues the legacy of Phyllis Schlafly and stands against forces that mock traditional values, slander America, and redefine the family. Now, the president of Phyllis Schlafly Eagles, Ed Martin.
A Christian school in Vermont made a courageous decision to protect their girls' basketball team, but they're paying a price for it. Mid-Vermont Christian School was scheduled to play against rival school Long Trail Mountain, but they discovered that the school has a male student claiming to be transgender on their girls' basketball team. Mid-Vermont decided to forfeit rather than put their female players up against a male player. Principal Vicky Fogg issued a statement to the press explaining, "We withdraw from the tournament because we believe playing against an opponent with a biological male jeopardizes the fairness of the game and the safety of our players. Allowing biological males to participate in women's sports sets a bad precedent for the future of women's sports in general." For forfeiting the game and for releasing that statement, the Vermont Principals Association voted unanimously to expel Mid-Vermont Christian School from its membership. Since the VPA controls most student sports throughout the state of Vermont, Mid-Vermont is sure to have difficulty finding new venues for their sports teams going forward. This is the kind of persecution that often comes with taking a courageous stand. It's difficult to believe that Mid-Vermont Christian School did not know that this outcome was likely when they made the decision that they did. However, the protection of their students and the preservation of truth is more important than the cost they will have to pay. Other schools might not have been so bold, but this is one Christian school that proved they are not easily intimidated by those that reject clear Christian teachings. I truly believe that we can win the battle to reject the transgender assault on women's sports, but for many living in liberal states, this fight is sure to get worse before it gets better. The liberal agenda is ruining girls' sports for an entire generation. Only those with real courage can stop it. I applaud the boldness of Principal Fogg and the leadership of Mid-Vermont Christian School. It is my prayer that others will be so courageous in the defense of truth.
This has been the Phyllis Schlafly Report with Ed Martin, president of Phyllis Schlafly Eagles. Freedom of worship and the right to express our faith and read our Bibles is foundational to America. At PhyllisSchlafly.com, we promise to track mounting threats to the free exercise of religion and equip you to fight back. Your defense begins at PhyllisSchlafly.com. Thanks for listening, and join us next time for the Phyllis Schlafly Report.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Ed Martin here on the Pro America Report. Hey, we got to wrap things up today. And let me say this. I want to drive you to read a book. Okay. So this is my plug here. I'm going to tell you something. A really important book is called A Choice, Not an Echo. A Choice, Not an Echo. It's Phyllis Schlafly's famous book. She wrote it in 1964. She self-published it. About 3 million copies were sold, pushed out in 1964. And it influenced the election in 64, again in 68, that book. And then it led to the Reagan Revolution. And here's the thing. It tells the inside story of the Kingmakers. She updated the book in about 2014 or so. And so you can see all the way through it goes year, it goes, every 4 years at the Republican convention, Phyllis writes about how the insiders were, the Kingmakers were gaming the system. And two things. One, they kept losing. They kept backing the wrong horses, meaning they just didn't have a sense of politics of what can win. And a related topic, number two, is they kept picking people that were, you know, not strong on defense. They were kind of moderates in ways on key issues. And so they were sort of doing these milquetoast people that they thought would be agreeable, and people didn't care. They didn't want, they want someone who's on their side. They want someone who has opinions and fights and is paying attention. That's why Goldwater is who she backed in 64. Phyllis did. He lost, but that was because Kennedy had been murdered. And so there was a lot of sympathy, and it was going to be difficult no matter what. Nixon won. Phyllis Schlafly thought he would be conservative. He turned out not to be so conservative on many issues. But then Reagan, of course, was muscular in his conservatism, and he really was a choice, not an echo. And Phyllis backed Trump in the same way. Well, if you go read that book right now, you will get a sense of how the party system in America works. Both parties, corrupt, really corrupt, meaning the system is gamed. I don't mean that everybody's making money, although a bunch of people are. I mean, the system is rigged. It's not just rigged against Bernie Sanders. It's not just rigged in favor of the Kingmakers. It's rigged in general. It's rigged in very substantial ways. And you need to see it, understand it. If you read A Choice, Not an Echo, you will have a perspective on that that will never go away from you. It will inform what you do. And it'll be important for you to have sort of inoculated to the reality of party politics. So there you have it. Thank you, as always, to Noah Dingley, our great producer, Ryan Hyde, associate producer. We'll be back tomorrow. It's Ed Martin here on the Pro America Report. Back tomorrow.
America Report on The Answer San Diego.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.